Danny Frankel.
Ariella Gottesman Kaplan.
Ruthie Eisenberg.
Elisa Schaffer.
Sarah Schatz.
Batya Van Messel.
Rita Waldman.
Ophia Kathakakla. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Nice to meet you all. Okay, so the title, as I'm sure it was advertised, was Famous Chuvoser from Moshe Feinstein. So I guess famous is a, kind of a relative term and a subjective term, and you know, some chuvos might be more famous than others, but really I chose for tonight one chuva that I thought was about an interesting topic that might have practical relevance for all of us, and I don't intend to poskin a bottom line. I'll leave that for the Mariz Asra. But I thought it would be interesting to go into some of the background issues that come up with this that are relevant to this question, and then read Rav Moshe's chuva and see what he says about it, and we'll look at another chuva also. And then again, like I said, we'll leave the bottom line psak for each of our individual homes to Rabbi Schwartz. So the question that I wanted to discuss tonight is, can you invite your colleague, who happens to be a non-observant Jew, for a Shabbos meal? Given that, how are they going to probably get there?
Car.
Drive, car, subway, train, bus, whatever. So are you allowed to invite them, and knowing that if they come, they'll probably be Mechalel Shabbos? So the place to start with examining this question is with a pasuk in Sefer Vayikra in Parshas Kedoshim. So if you look at source number one, the pasuk says, "Lo tekalel chayrish v'lifnei iver lo titein michshul v'yarita me'alokecha ani Hashem." So don't curse a deaf person, and in front of a blind person, don't put a stumbling block or an obstacle. Fear God, I'm your God. So I think many of us have heard of this prohibition before, "Lifnei iver lo titein michshul," but what exactly does it mean? What's included in Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Michshul? What are we not supposed to do? So what do you think?
Put someone in the situation where they're going to come to sin.
Okay, so we're not supposed to... So you're translating it very not literally. So it means that it doesn't mean anything about a physical stumbling block. It means that we're supposed to... we're not supposed to put people in a situation where they're going to come to mess up.
A spiritual stumbling block.
Okay.
You probably also shouldn't put...
Yeah.
Okay. That also wouldn't be very nice.
To prevent somebody who does not know the dangers in front of him from falling into those dangers, whatever they be, financial, physical.
To not prevent the person.
To not cause them.
Meaning you should not.
If there's a danger in front of a person they're not aware of, you should not give them the extra push, so to speak, in order to get there.
Okay.
Whatever danger that is.
Okay. So it's not necessarily spiritual danger in terms of violating halacha, but could be anything that. That someone wouldn't want to do,
yeah.
You shouldn't push them toward it. Any other suggestions? Okay, so you're all right. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi's quoting the Midrash Halacha, and so Rashi says, Rashi on this pasuk, "V'lifnei iver lo titein michshol, lifnei hasuma b'davar lo titein etza she'ina hugarelo." So in front of someone who's blind to a certain issue, and in front of someone who's ignorant about a certain area of knowledge, in front of someone who doesn't know something, don't give him advice that's not good for him, that's not fair to him. So Rashi, so the Midrash Halacha, which Rashi's quoting, doesn't talk about a physical stumbling block, and it doesn't actually mention anything having to do with Halacha or Avirut, but it says, like you said, remind me your name again?
Ariella.
Don't give someone bad advice. Al tomar mechor sadcha v'kachacha chamor. Don't say to someone, oh, you should sell your field to me and I'll pay you a donkey. Right? That's not a very good sale. That's not a very fair transaction. You're going to get a whole piece of land and they're going to just get a donkey. So, right? That's how keif alav v'notzlahim anu, and you're like tricking him. So Rashi says, quoting the Midrash Halacha, don't do that. Don't give someone bad advice that's going to have them, that's going to result in them being in a situation which is really unfair to them. So, and that's how the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvot explains this Isser also. If you look at source number three, but the Rambam adds, we're going to see what Ophira said. So, look at source number three. The HaMitzvah HaRish Tzaditet, the 299th Mitzvah. He says, Hiranu Mehichshil K'tatenu K'tatenu Be'itza. So, we're warned not to fail people with advice. So don't give, someone comes to you asking for advice, don't give, not only should you not give him the bad advice and not give him advice that will lead him to stumble, that's tricking him, but not only should you not do that, but you actually should go out of your way to give him the good advice and lead him in the proper direction. To the thing that you think is the sound advice, is the good advice, is the correct thing to do. And that's based on the pasuk of Lifnei Iver Lo Titein, right? V'hu Amro Yitala, V'Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mechshol, V'Lashon Sifra, Lifnei Suma B'Davar, Hayano Tel Mimcha Itza, Al Titein Lo Itza She'ena Hogeret Lo. So quoting the Sifra that Rashi was also quoting, right? That don't give someone bad advice. V'Lavza Amru Shehu Kolel Gam Kein Misha Ya'azor Al Aveira O Yisabevota, Ki Hu Yaviha Isha Hu She'ivra Ta'avato, Ayin Sichlo, V'chazar Iver V'yifatayu V'yazrehu Lashlim Averato O Yachin Lo Sibat HaAvera. And this includes, right, not giving someone bad advice, includes not encouraging someone to sin or not putting someone in a situation where they're going to sin. So like Ophira said, the Rambam was kind of building this off of the not giving someone bad advice in general. Don't give them advice. Don't give them advice to sin, and don't put them in a situation where they're going to end up sinning. And other sources also point out, Aliza, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, that you also shouldn't put, right? This is beyond the simple interpretation of the text, but that doesn't mean that the simple interpretation is not also correct, that you should also not put a physical, an actual box or a block in front of somebody and try to trip them. That also would not be very nice. And it would be...
The thing is that the Torah doesn't speak, at least the legal part of the Torah doesn't really, or very, very rarely speaks of metaphors. That's the great difference between the Torah and the Nevi'im. The only other metaphor that I remember is the Machtersi Motzei Aganav, where it doesn't really mean that he's actually going to come through an underground tunnel. So this Lifnei Iver, they're working to point out that this is really basically a metaphoric statement. It's really not to be taken literally.
Mm-hmm.
That's the unusual thing about this statement. That's why it's like a stumbling block to interpreting it properly.
Right.
Because if I can just, I'm not pushing. This is the major difference when they speak about the difference between Nevuas Moshe and Nevuas Shoh HaNevi'im. The other ones were Bechidah v'Mashal, but Moshe Rabbeinu was, the Rambam says this word of difference, he spoke to him B'derech HaSeichel, meaning that it was plain talk, non-figurative language. And that's why this is a problematic, or not a problematic, but this is like a very different kind of statement that the Torah uses. Here the Torah uses a figure of speech to what right. It really intends to do, according to the Mefarshim.
Right.
That's a stumbling block here.
Right. I think Ayin Tachas Ayin also comes to mind when you talk about metaphors.
Well, Ayin Tachas Ayin has a literalness about it.
The whole Torah was Nevuah Moshe, Bezerah, and Utiyah is also a metaphor.
Correct. But that's not
it's
a
not
legal
not
section.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's what I'm
that's
saying.
True. It's not
that
legal
the legal speech. Section of the Torah is, declarative
right.
speech.
Well, I think, I mean, you notice in the Sifra that they actually still try to use the word suma b'davar, like to try to even fit it into the language of the pasuk, that the person is blind, they're just not physically blind, it's right,
that's
intellectually
that's
blind.
That's respect for the literal language of
right.
the Torah, you know, taking, not trying to veer away from
right.
it too much. Hope you don't mind my.
Okay, so in addition to what we saw in Rashi from the, quoting the Midrash, which has to do with not giving someone bad advice, the Rambam adds that there's a specific type of bad advice that you shouldn't give, which is giving someone advice that's going to lead them to do an avira or assisting someone in some way in doing an avira, in the committing of an avira. So this is a specific aspect of Lifnei Iver that I want to focus on for the rest of this year, of the issue of assisting someone else in violating an avira. What is it... What are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? And how? And then we'll come back to our question about inviting your colleague over for a Shabbos meal towards the end. Okay, so the main jumping off point for this discussion in the Gemara is in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So we'll go to source 4, but just a bit of background. If the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah forbids commerce with Ovdei Avodah Zarah, with idolatrous Gentiles, for 3 days before... and 3 days after also, for 3 days, but we'll focus on 3 days before, their festivals, their pagan festivals where they worship idols. And what do you think the reason for that was?
It'll lead them to thank their God for it.
Okay, so that's one of the reasons. There's various reasons that are discussed in the Gemara. Also, possibly if you do business with them, they're going to have your money, and then your money might end up getting spent on their worship. So that would be bad. So for various reasons, and we're going to go into a few of the details here, you're not allowed to do business with the Avodah Zarah for 3 days before their holidays. And the Gemara, that's the Mishnah, and the Gemara there adds, and this is also still background, that you also can't give an animal to an Oved Avodah Zarah during that 3-day period. So not only can you not do business with them, but you can't even give them an animal as a gift. Right? That's not business at all, it's just a gift, but you also can't do that. So the Gemara that we're going to look at raises two possible reasons for the second Isser, for the second prohibition, and why you can't give them an animal in the 3-day period before their holiday. So let's look at the Gemara number 4. So the Gemara says, Ibai Lehu, it was asked to the Chachamim, talking about this second Isser of giving an animal to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah before their holiday. Mishum Harvacha, O Dilma Mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Michshol. So is the reason that you can't give them this animal is because it's going to be a gain for them to have this extra animal, like Harviach means to gain, right? It's going to be some sort of financial gain for them to have this animal. And then what would be the problem with that? Then they're going to thank God on their holiday for this financial gain that they got, they're going to thank their idols on their holiday for this financial gain that they got, which you provided. So you're going to almost be like somehow responsible for this, for that idol worship. Or is it because of Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Michshol? Maybe they're going to actually use this animal and sacrifice that very animal to their God, and then you're going to actually have assisted them in violating Avodah Zarah. So similar problems with both of them, that you're going to somehow be connected to the Avodah Zarah, but slightly different. Because in one of them, you're not actually facilitating their Avodah Zarah, you just might end up being connected to it, but if you're actually going to provide the animal they're going to use to sacrifice to their idols, then that's actually facilitating Avodah Zarah.
What was the first one?
They're going to have financial gain from this. They're going to be excited that they have like one more animal. They're going to thank their God on the holiday for this financial gain.
But if they don't use it, the animal for
it. Yeah, even if they don't sacrifice that animal, they're just going to like appreciate the financial gain.
So the chiddush of the Gemara is that Lifnei Iver applies to Goyim too.
Yeah, so
or,
that...
Or is the reason here because... By your enhancing or facilitating their worship, is that because he's being over the Avodah Zarah and that's a violation of Sheva Mitzvos? We don't want Kohen really to be able, or is his worship the Avodah Zarah your Avera because you are enhancing the, shall we say, power, the reputation of that Avodah Zarah? Is it his Avera that the Morris quotes?
Well, I think the possibilities, the suggestion of the fact that it's a violation of Lifnei Iver is your Avera of... I mean, it seems like Lifnei Iver means facilitating his idol. I mean, that's a question about Lifnei Iver in general.
What's the wrongness that's being done here?
I think that's a question about Lifnei Iver in general. When you're violating Lifnei Iver, is that an Isser unto itself? Or each time you violate Lifnei Iver with a different Isser, is it an extension of that Isser?
I'm not asking that. I'm asking... When you're causing him to worship Avodah Zarah,
yeah,
is that because you're not allowed to cause a goy to do an Avera for himself? Or is his worshiping Avodah Zarah your enhancement of the Avodah Zarah? In other words, is it that you are elevating the Avodah Zarah by having another worshiper? Or is this too much of a Gemara?
No, it's okay. I think it's a good question, and I don't...
Sorry.
If you're lifting Iver onto yourself to facilitate his idol worship, is that what you're possibly?
No, what I'm asking is, what's the Iver here? Is that he is going to be doing an Avera?
Mm-hmm.
Is it his Avera? And the Goy has an Avera in worshiping Avodah Zarah, and worshiping idols.
Yes.
I mean,
Avodah Zarah.
Based on later...
One of the Sheva Mitzvos.
Right.
Or is it that it's your Avera?
So... Who's the
Iver? So Lifnei Iver wouldn't apply if it's your Avera.
Yeah, who's a blind person here?
Right, I don't think Lifnei Iver would, and I that's number one. Number two, I think based on later in the Gemara, which we'll see in a second, where it gives another example of Iver Menachai to Ben Noach, it seems like this Gemara is actually being Mechadish, that there could be an issue of Lifnei Iver for Bnei Noach, for the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach.
How does the Gemara know that this Avera applies to a Goy then? The way you're answering the question now, you're saying that in Eva Menachai, you're making him do an Avera, which he's prohibited to do.
Mm-hmm.
So how does Gemara know that Lifnei Iver applies to Goyim? Most mitzvahs apply to fellow Jews.
So maybe this is a support for the the side of the Chakir that Lifnei Iver is really an extension of this or itself.
Well, the
maybe that's
the prohibition is still that the Jew would be doing something that would cause somebody else to sin. The fact, like, there's no issue of the goy doing something that will cause a goy to sin.
Right, the Lifnei Iver is still on the Jew. Like, he's not, I think that's a good answer also. He's not allowed to do something that will cause someone else to do something that they're not allowed to do.
I want to throw something else into the mix.
We're worried about causing non-Jews to do something.
Most right, because it's...
Only things that they're not allowed to do, though. Only for Shem... I think that theory would only work if it's only true about the Shem Mitzvah's B'nai Noah.
You're not allowed to facilitate a Avodah Zarah even if you're not actually participating in the Avodah Zarah. Why would that be? Because you're not allowed to facilitate a Avodah Zarah because of who the practitioner is.
That's separate from Lifnei Iver, though.
Separate from Lifnei Iver, but it would be a reason why Lifnei Iver would apply in the situation of a guy doing something he shouldn't be doing because... If you can't facilitate it because of a Zara, you shall not be able to facilitate it because it's with an Eva situation.
Right. But did you want to add?
Well, what we haven't talked about, though, is that there's a temporal sense here in giving the animal to the goy because it may or may not cause him to increase his Avodah Zarah. So it's not a direct causal effect. And
so she's saying it's a suffix. So the Gemara is saying that, in other words, it's doubtful whether or not he will. And the Gemara here is assuming that it's the Sveika de Reise Lechumra.
Well, I think
what it is doing is introducing this whole realm of possibility as being something real and solid, because it's really one step removed. It's obviously, if I give you tray food and to eat and you eat it, that's causality. But the idea that if I have, you know, a cupboard full of food and there just happens to be one tray item in there, it doesn't follow that you're necessarily going to.
Well, even if you've given me tray food, I don't have to eat it. You didn't like stick it in my mouth. I think that we're going to see in a few minutes that there is discussion in the Rishonim of how necessary does your help have to be in order for it to be a violation of Lifnei Iver. So I think that maybe that touches on your question, and we'll see that in a few minutes. Okay, so I think that Rosh Scheinman is right on target for pointing out that this Gemara actually seems to imply that Lifnei Iver does have some, that there is some issue with Lifnei Iver even with non-Jews, but maybe that would only be for the Shavuot Mitzvot B'nei Noach, which they're prohibited from doing. Okay, so the Gemara says either it's because of the fact...
The question could be, if you give a goy Eitz Hasheina Hogenes, would there be a Lifnei Iver there?
Right.
Or does it apply only to the union of the matter of Avodah Zarah?
Well, it definitely applies to Iver Menachai, which we'll see later in the Gemara.
That's a mitzvah.
Right.
I'm talking about, let's say, business. If you give a goy wrong advice gain from it, is that Nisa also?
That's a good question.
That would be the test case.
Right, that's a good question. I don't know.
All right.
Okay, so the Gemara says, L'mai nafkamina, what difference does it make why it's a problem to give the Ovid Avodah Zarah, this animal, in the 3 days before the holiday? So a case where the test case would be if he has another, he has his own animal that he could use to sacrifice to his god. So Iya Marta Mishum Harvacha, if you say that the reason that you can't give him an animal is because it's going to be financial gain for him and he's going to think his god and you're going to be somehow you're going to appear as having participated in his festival. So Hakamar Vachle, so he's still getting financial gain even if he already has one animal, okay, but you gave him another one, now he has two, so it's still a problem. But if you say that the problem with giving him the animal is because you're facilitating his worship by giving him an animal to sacrifice, but now he has his own, so you didn't give him the animal to sacrifice, he already had one. So the Gemara then challenges, though, is it really true that if he has his own animal, then you're not violating Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mechshol, you're not violating helping him, right, facilitating him doing an Aveira just because he had his own. So you still gave him one, and maybe he's still going to use yours. And maybe you still pushed, right? Maybe you made it easier for him. Maybe he wasn't going to sacrifice the one that he had because he only had one. Maybe now he's going to sacrifice it because you gave him another one. So now he still has one left. Who knows? Is it really true that you don't violate Lifnei Iver if the person could have done it without you? V'hatanya, Amar Rabbi Nassan, don't we learn in a Braisa? Rabbi Nassan says, Minayin shelo yoshit adam kosh shel yayin l'nazir. How do we know? From where do we know that a person shouldn't give a cup of wine to a nazir? Right, a nazir is someone who takes a neder that he's becoming a nazir, and one of the prohibitions for a nazir is that you're not allowed to drink wine. So from where do we know that you're not allowed to hand a cup of wine to a nazir? Or Eivar min Achai to Ben Noach. You're also, right, Eivar min Achai is the iser to eat the certain part of the animal from the leg. And how do we know that you're not, and that's one of the Shev Mitzvot B'nei Noach, so how do we know that you're not allowed to give an Eivar min Achai to a Ben Noach, or presumably to Yisrael also? So interesting that the Gemara specifically here asks it about Ben Noach. Talmud Lomar v'lifnei Iver lo titein michshol, that you, the Torah says that you shouldn't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, meaning you shouldn't help facilitate someone doing an Aveira. V'ha'hacha d'chi lo yahavinan le'eshak le'ihu, and in those cases of the Nazir and the Eivar min Achai, the person, right, if you hadn't given it to them, the person could take it themselves. They could still go get the cup of wine. They could still take the Eivar min Achai. The Ka'avar Mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Michshol. And you're still in, and nonetheless, Rabbi Nassan says, you're still in violation of the prohibition of Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Michshol. So it seems like it's not true that if they could have done it without you, you're off the hook. Even if they didn't need your help, if you somehow facilitated it, even if they didn't need you, that's still a problem for you. But then, yeah.
Because I always thought of it, it's when the person wouldn't realize that they're going to be overselling. But the Nazir obviously realizes. I mean, is it when you're tricking him into drinking it, or you're like, here's a cup of wine, and he's making his own choice to drink it? Is that still considered
temptation?
Lifnei Iver, even though, like, he's... So, you know what I...
It's a good question, and it seems... I think I think it's a problem in both cases, whether the person knows that they're doing Avira or not. If you facilitate it, I think it's a problem.
Is it facilitating, or is it putting someone else into a situation of temptation? Like, that wouldn't necessarily be defined as facilitation. Should they tempt somebody?
Why, what's the difference?
Facilitate is when the temptation already exists, and you're helping that. Temptation is, there's no desire to commit the iser, and you are creating the temptation, and then just stopping there.
Saying, like, having wine near a Nazir, offering
him? Just mentioning to Nazir how fine a certain brand of wine is, that's it. And the Nazir then goes and buys it himself. You have nothing to do with getting the wine into his hands. You have nothing to do
with
bringing him the wine. You just made him want the wine.
So it seems like from the Gemara here that it's more about facilitating. Mm-hmm. But we'll see a distinction, not exactly like that, but similar to that a little bit later.
Okay.
Question? Okay. So the Gemara resolves this seeming problem, because earlier in the Gemara said that giving the animal to the Ovid of Odazara before his holiday, if the reason that you weren't allowed to do it was because of the Lifnei Iver, then if he had his own animal, it wouldn't be a problem. So it seems contradictory to the later brayta the Gemara brought. So the Gemara says, Hachav maya skinan, dekai betrei ivrei nahara. So the brayta about with the Nazir and the Ben Noach is talking about where they're on two different sides of the river. Meaning, the Nazir is on one side of the river, and you and the cup of wine are on the other side of the river, and you bring the cup of wine across the river to the Nazir, and you give it to him. Meaning, he couldn't have gotten it without you, or at least not without a lot of difficulty. I don't know, for some reason you had a boat and he didn't have a boat or something like that. Whatever. It seems like from the conclusion of the Gemara that you're only in violation of Lifnei Iver if the person needed your assistance in order to violate that Avira. If they could have done it without you, so then you're off the hook, no problem. So, but how do we define need your assistance? Like, could they have done it without you, but it would have taken a lot more effort? Or they absolutely, it was completely impossible for them to have done it without you? How do we define that? So, if you look at source number 5, the Me'iri says, Mikol makom ino motzei ela b'torach asar lahamtzi lo b'hazmano. So the Me'iri says that even if you're not absolutely necessary, but he would have had to put in a lot of effort to go get it, you're not allowed to make it more accessible, more easily accessible. So it's a problem, even if he could have done it without you, if you made it easier for him. However, Rashi, on the other hand, on the Gemara, implies that if he could have gotten it without you, bichlal, then even if it'd be extra work for him, even if you're making it easier, if he could have gotten it without you, I didn't put Rashi in the sheet, but even if he could have gotten it without you, then if he could have gotten it without you, then
you're off the hook.
Okay, so now we've limited listening either to when the person either couldn't do it without you or couldn't do it without you easily, right, depending on which rishon you go by. But what about in cases where the person could have easily done it without you? They could have easily gotten it themselves. So is there anything wrong with that? Right? We said you're off the hook in terms of lifnei iver, but does that mean like you're allowed to do that? Is there any problem with that? So there's potentially another iser called misayaya ledvar avira, assisting someone in an avira. And that is, we'll see where that comes from. So if you look at source number 6, Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, right, so let's read it inside. Yisrael sha'amar, Hoshitli nevela o chazir o shum iser, ein lechoshto mi lechoshilo. If a Jew asks you, pass me a nevela, right, a carcass that wasn't shechted properly, or a pig, or anything that's forbidden to eat, you don't have to suspect him that he's going to do something wrong with it, and you're allowed to give it to him. Avalim yadua lo shirotze lo ochlo, aser lechoshilo, vafilu hushalo. But if you know that he wants to eat it, then you can't give it to him, and even if it belongs to him, you can't give it to him. And this is talking about a case where he's unable to get the item without your assistance. So, like we saw in the Gemara, Tosfo seems to be taking the position that it's only a problem if he needs your assistance. But nonetheless, Tosfo says, like we saw in the Gemara, that it lifnei iver only applies when they're on two different sides of the river and they absolutely need your assistance. So here it seems like, yeah.
So you can apply that to any situation, meaning the river, something that they can't do without you. That's what the Gemara is implying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the river is some sort of obstacle that the person can't get past
physical
without you.
Physical or spiritual or anything?
Like, I mean, what do you mean by spiritual?
Okay, maybe not spiritual. I don't know. I'm saying things like it doesn't have to be like a physical.
It doesn't have to be a river. It doesn't have to be a river, right?
It's a metaphor.
Yeah.
The river's a metaphor.
The river means that it's something that makes it impossible for them to do without you, or
you would have
harder
to
do it without you. Okay, so. So here, there seems to be no issue of misayayel dvar avira. Tosfos says, if he could get it without you, then you're allowed to hand it to him. No problem. Okay? But if we go to source number 7, the Mishnah in Shabbos talks about a case of a poor person who's standing outside a house where he came to collect some charity, and he has a basket that he's collecting the charity in, and he places the basket on Shabbos into the hands of the homeowner standing inside the house. So the problem with that is that it's carrying something, or it's passing something from one rishus to another, outside the house to inside the house, is a violation of carrying on Shabbos of sorts, right? Of putting something from one rishus, how we define the courtyard of the person's house is a whole separate issue, but from one rishus to another inside the house. So in that, you're not allowed to do that. So in that case, the Mishnah rules that the poor person violated the iser of, right, carrying items from one rishus to another on Shabbos, but the homeowner did not, even though the homeowner actually took the basket from the poor person. So, and the Gemara adds, right, that's what the Mishnah rules, and this is at the very beginning of Masechet Shabbos, and the Gemara adds that even lechatchila, the homeowner could take the basket, right? There's no prohibition at all. It's not a problem at all for him to accept the basket. So Tosfos there raises the obvious question of why is that not a problem of lifnei iver for him to take the basket? So if you look at this Tosfos, he says in source number 7, "Ve'im tomar v'ha ka'avar lifnei iver lo titein mechshol." Doesn't the homeowner violate lifnei iver lo titein mechshol because by taking the basket, he's facilitating the ani in violating an avera of hotami or shus l'rishus. Va'afilu mayri shahaya yachol litzlo. Even in a case where he could have taken it himself. Va'afilu ahaya be'yado. So lo avar mishum lifnei iver, demoshit kos yayin lenazir, mokila beparakam, demasachas avodas kuchavim, dekai betray iver dezenahara. So even if he didn't really need the homeowner's assistance, maybe he could have like put it down on the floor and he still would have been in violation even without the homeowner's assistance. Mikol makom iser derabanan miya ika shachayiv lahafrisho me'iser. There's still this other iser derabanan that you're not allowed to help. Tosfos phrases this in the positive, that you're actually obligated to distance people from violating Avero. You have to try to help people make sure that they don't violate Avero. You have to keep people from violating Avero. You're not allowed to help people violate Avero. So even when it's not, and even when it doesn't fall under the prohibition of lifnei iver as we defined it, there's still this other iser of misayayel edvar Avera. So even though he easily could have placed the basket inside the house by himself without the owner's involvement, there still was some iser on the part of the Balabayis to facilitate the poor person violating the Avera. Okay, so from this Tosfos, we see the issue of Misayel Dvar Avera. So that seems somewhat contradictory to the previous Tosfos that we saw in Masachas Avodah Zarah, where there was no problem for the Jew to hand the other Jew the pig or the nevela if the person could have gotten it himself. So first of all, how could we understand this prohibition of Misayel Dvar Avera? So number one, it could be an Isser Derabanan, that's kind of an extension of Lifnei Iver Lo Titein, of the Isser Doraisa of Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Michshol. Or it could be that it's some other Isser Derabanan associated with some other issue in the Torah. Like, for example, there's a biblical, right, there's, and I think this actually is more, this option is more supported by the language that Tosfos uses in Shabbos, that there's an obligation in the Torah of Hocheach Tochiach Asam Yisecha, that you have to rebuke your friend. If you see your friend doing something wrong, you have to tell him that he's doing something wrong. So maybe this is a rabbinic, right, enactment kind of along the lines of Hocheach Tochiach, that you also shouldn't help people do something wrong. Or it could be an independent Isser, right, not related to Lifnei Iver or Hocheach Tochiach of Misayel Dvar Avira and Isser Derabana. Okay, so, and that final approach is the generally accepted one, but all of those options exist for what the basis for this problem is. So if we look at source number 8, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch Yordaya, he brings both of these opinions from Tosfos, and he doesn't try to reconcile them. He just brings the two opinions. He brings the first opinion, and then he says that some people are strict, like the second opinion, that you shouldn't, that even if there's no problem with Ne'iver, you still shouldn't facilitate people doing an Avera. So he says, Haga, Yesh Omrim, there are those who say, Ha da asr limkor lahem devarim hashayachim la'avodasam, that it's prohibited to sell to idol worshippers things that relate to their worship. Hainu dafgam in lahem achirim, that's only if they don't have others, kayotzebo, like the ones that you're giving him. Oshalo yuchlu liknos b'makom acher, or they couldn't get it somewhere else. Alvim yucholim liknos b'makom acher, if they could have gotten it somewhere else, then you could sell to them whatever you want. There's no problem, because they could have done it without you. But there are those who are machmir and saying, no, even if they could have done it without you, you still shouldn't help facilitate the avera. The minhag in the Ramah's community was like the first opinion, that if they could have done it without you, then it's no problem. But a baal nefesh should be machmir. So the Ramah just leaves the two approaches as contradictory, that there's Lifnei Iver is when they could not have done it without you. there's also some people are machmir for this other thing called Misayel Dvar Avera, but the minhag is lahakel.
Question?
Yeah.
Both of these issues, but the Tosfot and the Shulchan Aruch deal with issues where monetary loss may happen. It's an issue of, mm-hmm. of selling something to a guy, selling something to a Jew's possession, mm-hmm. and so on. What would either of these opinions say? There was no financial loss at stake. Because...
financial loss to the seller, for the Jew selling?
Yes. Yes, as in, because...
well, there's not really financial loss here. There would just be a lack of financial gain.
Yeah, which is ultimately a financial loss. It's a lost opportunity to sell your item and make a profit.
Right. I'm not 100% sure, but I think often in cases where an hefseid mamon is applied as a leniency, it's like... when there would be an actual loss of something you already have, mm-hmm. a lost opportunity. I don't know if you could correct me if I'm wrong. Right, but that's something else. That's not Hefseid Mamon.
Well, Tosfos is talking about...
it's that, would the situation be changed if there was not... would the Pesach of the Tosfot or the Shulchan Aruch change if there was no financial loss at stake?
Tosfos doesn't seem to be talking about selling. He's talking about passing.
Both of the Tosfos are not really about that.
If you were in a neutral situation and you weren't losing out on a sale.
Yes.
Give an example. Can you think of an example? Hard to think of a life
situation.
Well,
Ramah is saying that you should be mafmir, which means you should take the loss. He's saying that people have been made ill, possibly because of monetary gain.
Getting a brownie point.
But it's only for those 3 days, though. It's not like always. It's just for the 3 days around there. Yom Eidayin.
If you're a Christian, that's the entire week. But yeah.
Okay. We generally don't consider it that.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other discussion.
That's a whole other discussion.
Isn't there a question of giving a gift to a goy anyhow?
Oh, this is selling.
This is
right.
You mean always in general, or like around their holidays? Right.
By the way, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I noticed that the Rambam quotes as his source for the Mechilim, for the lenient opinion, the Mordechai. Lived in a Christian country.
Right.
The Machmirim, who are the Machmirim? Are they people who lived in Arab countries, maybe?
Well, it seems like, I mean
that would be a scholarship side of
right.
The
I mean, it seems like it's the Balei HaTosfos, the Machmirim also. So I don't know if it would work.
They were also in Christian countries.
Right.
Because they had problems. That's why the Kulis arose, actually, I think, to put it crudely.
Right. Well, there was a shiur here on Shavuos night one year where basically the summary of the shiur was people in Christian countries didn't consider Christians Avodah Zarah. Right. Right. So the fact that they're in Christian countries may not be so relevant if they don't consider Christians to be Avodah Zarah.
Also, they don't consider the Christians to be, shall we say, intensively involved in their religion. They weren't, Adukim. Mm-hmm. They weren't Charedim in their religion.
Right. Okay,
as
so
the old-time Christians of the Mishnah, not Christians. I mean,
Avodah Zarah. Okay, so the Ramak just leaves the two approaches as contradictory, but some other Rishonim and Achronim try to reconcile them. So, if you look at verse number 9, the Ritva claims that you can assist someone who is going to violate an avira if he could have performed the act independently when the person doesn't clearly express a desire to commit the sin. So that kind of was what you were talking about before, about whether the person, oh, I think you were actually mentioning this, whether the person knows or doesn't know. So the Ritzvah says, "Alam likol makom im itavale befeirush leisura." If the person specifically said, "I want to violate this iser," nehid mishum lifnei iver leka. So fine, there's no problem with lifnei iver if they could have done it, if they could do it without you. Akati ika isura b'milsa mishum demisayaya yidei ovrei avira. But there's still this other problem of misayel dvar avira if we're causing him to do a sin or even to do more of a sin than he otherwise would have done. So the Ritzvah saying yes, lifnei iver doesn't apply if he could have done it without you, but misayel dvar avira applies if he could have done it without you in a case where he specifically expressed his desire to sin. But if the person didn't specifically say, "I know this is a sin and I want to do this sin," then it seems like it would be there's no problem with Isaiah Levaravera, and that Lifnaiver would or would not apply depending on if you needed your help or not.
And Isaiah Levaravera applies to a non-Jew also. Is that your assumption?
No, I don't think
You're
so.
Not assuming that.
I'm not assuming that. Would you assume that based on what he says?
No, I was wondering that before.
I mean, Tosfos only brings up the issue of Misayaya in...
What is Ramot talking about? Only Lifnei Iver or Misayaya Deo Vaevera? In source number 8.
Yeah. So that's a good question. Because the Yish Machmir and I was saying is based on the Tosfos and Shabbos about the Jew. But here, the case is of a non-Jew. Right, so that's a good question. I'm not sure.
So Misayaya Levar Idei... only applies where the person wants to do it, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
But if they don't realize, let's say that they're...
Then Lufnei Iver applies.
Only if they need your help. But if they okay. could have done it without you, so then it wouldn't.
So if they could have done it without you and they know they're doing it, then you're not, there's no avera in helping them.
No, if they know that they're doing it and they expressly just said they want to do it, then there is.
And
they could have done it without you, but and they didn't expressly say that they want to do this avira, then there's no avira in helping them.
Okay.
According to the Ritzvah.
Okay.
Wait, if they didn't say they wanted to do the avira?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then presumably because then it's not amazing and so it's a lower.
Okay.
A Jew asks for tzedakah. He says, "Oh, I need a dollar to go to McDonald's."
Mm-hmm. So that's an example of right. It would be a problem. Yeah. Okay. So another possible way to reconcile, to combine these two Isurim and figure out when each of them applies, is in the Chasam Sofer, who's the son of the Chasam Sofer, who lived in the 19th century. So he says, in number 10, "Nir lefiya niyostaiti, it seems in my humble opinion, yish lechalik, that we should distinguish between ha de perakama de Shabbos, the perakama de Avodah Zarah, between the what's mentioned in the first parak of Shabbos, about the poor person at the door, and what's mentioned in the first parak of Avodah Zarah, about the selling to the non-Jews, or also giving the wine to the Nazir, or the Eivor Menachai to the Ben Noach. To prepare Kama de Shabbos, in the first paragraph of Shabbos, Ha'ani Ha'motzi O Miniach Liyadu Shal Balabayis, it's the poor person who's right, sticking out the basket and then putting it down in the hands of the Balabayis, as he, Aschalta de Avira Kishamutzi Miyadu O Gamra Kishaminiach Liyadu. So that's actually, it's the actual beginning of the Avira itself when he, when it leaves his hand, and it's the end of the Avira itself when it comes back into his hand. So the balabayis, right, the homeowner who's accepting the basket or giving back the basket, is actually helping him at the time of the avira itself. Hagam she'in b'siyuat tzorech she'efshar b'lav hachi. So even though his assistance wasn't necessary because it was possible without his assistance, mikol makom asur midirabanan, it's still asur midirabanan because he's assisting him at the time of the avira itself. V'dan v'lamad zeh mitzvah. And he learns that from the fact that we're commanded to, right, that we learn this Isser of Misayaya from the fact that we're commanded to stop a katan from doing something that he's not supposed to do. So Kolshikin, for not someone who's not a katan, you shouldn't help him violate, and you shouldn't help him at the time where he's actually violating the Avira. Aval benosin Isser Shalo Lamumar, Hagam Sheyadua Sheyochal, Mikol makom b'sha'as nesina adayin leka kan shum aschalta de iser ve'inu misayaya lo klum. But to give a Jew who's not observant something that is forbidden for him to eat at the time that you're giving it to him, he's not eating it. There's no beginning of the iser, and you're not assisting him at all b'sha'as sha'usa ha'iser at the time that he's doing the prohibition. So he thinks that this is an appropriate distinction. So how does he set up all the categories? So he says, Livnei Iver applies when he couldn't have done it without you. But let's say he could have done it without you. So then we get to Misayel Dvar Avira, and that only applies if you're helping him at the time of the actual Avira itself. Like, you're assisting him in doing the actual Avira. But if you're just facilitating, like, giving him something that he's going to later do an Avira with, that's not a problem, Misayel Dvar Avira. So that would only be a problem if he couldn't have gotten that thing without you. But if he could have gotten it without you, then you're off the hook.
I like the way he says the Zechilik Nachon is a distinction that makes a difference. It's Shalom B'Shas, yes, it's true, but is it that significant here? The fact that it's the second later that he'll eat the Aveva, the Yechazel.
Well, I guess, I mean, he's trying to reconcile these two.
The two
comments of Tosfos. So I guess this is a distinction that he's able to draw.
Let's say he could do it without you, but he can't do it with, meaning, like, the assumption is that someone else will just be able to help him. Like, he doesn't necessarily need your help. Mm-hmm. He just needs anyone's help.
So that's a very good question. It comes up in that is part of this discussion that I wasn't going to go into, but just to, like, say a little bit about it. So there's a whole question of, like, let's say, right, he doesn't need your help specifically, but, like, another Jew is going to help him, so it might still be usher for you to help him, even if he could have done it with the help of some other Jew, because kind of, like, all Jews are collectively responsible, so you can't, like, put someone in a situation where they're going to require the help of another Jew. So it's not so clear whether that's the case or not. It's a very good question. Okay, so... Okay, so and I think that so the position of the Ksav Sofer allows us to reconcile the Sugya and Avodah Zarah and the Sugya and Shabbos. In the case of in Avodah Zarah of giving the wine to the Nazir or giving the Eivor Menachai to the Ben Noach or selling the animal to the non-Jew, so all of those, you're not helping them actually do the Avira at the time of the Avira. You're just facilitating, giving them something that they'll do an Avira with later. So that's, if they could have done it without you, then that's not a problem of Lefnei Iver, and there's no problem of Misayaya. Whereas the case in Shabbos, it's actually at the time of the Avira itself, so therefore it's a problem of Misayaya or Avira, even if the person could have done it without you. Okay, so to summarize so far, so we have the prohibition of Lefnei Iver when you help someone do an Avira that they couldn't have done without you, and we even added prohibition of Misayaya or Avira where you can't assist someone in committing an Avira, even if they could have done it without you, in certain situations, depending on which interpretation you go with. So what does all this mean for our question of inviting a non-observant Jew to your Shabbos meal? So before we address that, I just want to add in one more issue that might make a difference, depending on what the non-Jew is going to do in terms of coming to your Shabbos meal. So is it a problem to help someone violate an Isser D'Rabbanan, right? Lifnei Iver is an Isser D'Oraisa. Masayel Zvar Avira seems to be an Isser D'Rabbanan. Is it a problem of Lifnei Iver to help someone violate an Isser D'Rabbanan? So this is a discussion based on, connected to the issue of doing malacha on Chol HaMoed. So Tosfos, which I gave to you on your sheets in source 11, right, says, So Tosfos says that even if it's only Nitzar Derabanan, it's still a problem. The Ran says that it applies, but it's not a deraisa issur of lifnei iver. It's only a derabanan violation of lifnei iver. And the Ramban seems to imply that it doesn't apply to issurim derabanan at all. So there's not a clear picture from the Rishonim of whether it applies to issurim derabanan at all. But according to both Tosfos and the Ran, there would be some problem involved with helping someone facilitating someone violate an issur derabanan. So in terms of Shabbos issues, right, whether the issues are derabanan or deraisa, it seems like there still would be a problem of lifnei iver. So let's see how all this applies to our question. So, as far as lifnei iver goes, so the question that we need to explore is, could this person have done the avira without you? And how that applies to this question is a little bit strange, because, like, it's not like you're, like, walking with them onto the train, or you're walking with them into the cab, or you're paying the cab, or anything like that. So what does it really mean? Like, could they have done it without you? Like, they did do it without you. You just kind of caused them to do it because you invited them. So is the question then, were they going to do it anyway? So that's one thing that needs to be explored. And in terms of Misayaya L'dvar Avira, so according to the Ksav Sofer's distinction, where Misayaya only is a problem when it's actually at the time of the action, so then that's for sure not a problem here because you're not helping them do the action again, like they're coming alone. You extend the invitation before Shabbos, and then they're coming on their own, so it's not a problem with Misayaya L'dvar Avira. So let's look at Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva on this. So he says, "Ba'or iser sheyish b'hazmanas anashim sheyavo lispalo b'saknesses b'shas b'shabes k'shayodin sheyavo b'mashins mem la'omer tashiag." So on the matter of the prohibition that there is an inviting people to daven in your shul on Shabbos when you know that they're going to come in machines, or the term that he uses for cars. So nishalti miharav Rav Naftali Karlbach mi Detroit. So he got this question from Rav Naftali Karlbach in Detroit. Im yish iser lifnei iver lahazmin anashim. So the questioner, the shoel, asked Rav Moshe, is it okay for me to invite people to daven in my shul to have a Shabbos experience when I know that they're going to be mechal Shabbos and coming to shul because they're going to travel there in a car? V'hishavti, and Rav Moshe writes, I responded, so invite people from far away, where you know that it's impossible for them to get there any other way, like it's not walking distance where they live, right? So that's for sure a server who owed garua meister lifnei iver, and it's even worse than lifnei iver. Sharei who owed beister mesis. So the Rav Moshe says this is actually not only lifnei iver; it's the iser of mesis, right? Mesis is another iser doraisa of, right, causing people to veer from following the Torah. So it's not only lifnei iver; you're actually like causing people to veer from following the Torah, and that's even a problem of Mises, which is another Isser Doraisa. The Avshaha Isser Mises, the Chi of Skila, which is right, and the Isser Mises is one that gets the death penalty, but that's only if you cause people to violate a Bodhisara, right? That's like the local Isser of Mises, right? So that's what he says. The Avshaha Isser Mises, the Chi of Skila, who rock Mises, la Avodas Kochavim Mazalos. Even though the Isser Mises, where you get stones, is only if you cause people to violate a vodazara, mikol makom le'inyan ha'iser ve'onesh klapi shmaya, but, right, nonetheless, in terms of think what you shouldn't do and what, right, God and Shamayim will punish you for doing, b'kol ha'chomer she'in to'anin le'mesis she'yish b'chol ha'isirim, mesis is a pretty bad iser, k'mefurash b'sanhedrin daf chavtas, as it says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, she'yalef Rav Shimon bar Nachman am Rav Yonasan, minayin she'in to'anin le'mesis Minachash hakadmoni, af shelo haya chid avodah zara, ela iser achila meitadah. So how do we know that the Nachash, right, the Nachash in the story of Adam and Chava, violated the iser of mesis, even though he didn't get Adam and Chava to do avodah zara, he only got them to eat from the itadas. But he still violated iser of mesis. Chazinan she iser mesis yish lechol avira. So Rav Moshe is learning actual halacha from this Gemara about the Nachash that Mesis applies to every Avera, even beyond Avodah Zarah. It's just that the Beis Din can't punish you unless you do it for Avodah Zarah, but you're still not supposed to do it. Ach she'in onshin b'dinei adam rak al mesis avodah zarah. But the beitzin's only going to punish you for getting someone to do avodah zarah. Aval b'dinei shamayim ye'anish. But in heaven, you're going to get punished. V'lo yilamdu alav sanigoria, and we're not going to defend you. Okay, so he's saying, so Rav Moshe is very machmir on this question, that inviting people from far away, where you know they have to drive because it's not walking distance, he says, not only that lifnei iver, but it's the iser mesis.
Do you know, guys?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can we assume, just because I haven't seen so many of Moshe's tshuvas on this, can we assume that taking a subway and going in a taxi is, because that would also apply here, because it's different than driving a car in terms of...
So, I can't say 100% because he doesn't address that here. He's only talking about if you're going to drive in a car. Probably going to subway would be better because you're not driving it. So maybe he wouldn't say that that's the iser mesis. Or maybe he would even allow it. It's hard. I don't know for sure.
Could one make the argument that suppose he doesn't come to you, so he'll go home and he'll watch TV and eat a non-kosher meal. If he does come to you, there's the off chance he'll be inspired and maybe he'll keep other Shabbos.
Yeah, excellent point. And you're going to see the next source, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, is going to say exactly that.
I caught your point about that Rav Moshe is learning the halacha from what would seem to be like an agoda about the Noch Zakat Moni.
Yeah.
That's just an aside. We do learn, I think, from agodas too. Or maybe he's taking this to be more than an agoda. But the real question is, Rav Moshe assumes very casually that the Nochash HaKadmoni wasn't involved in Avodah Zorah. I mean, it's true that they just ate from Beit Hadas, but that was rebellion against the Rabbonu Shel Olam, and it was tantamount to Avodah Zorah by denying Hashem, in a way. He's assuming that he's looking just at the act itself, not at the implications of the act of eating from Beit Hadas.
Right, you could say that about any. You could say that about violating. I guess I think you could say that about violating any avera. Anytime you violate an avera, you're also over in avodah zarah.
It's a good comeback, but in that case, it's a good comeback. But in that particular case, it's not so pushy that it's a comeback because there was only one mitzvah and it was from directly from the Rabbanu Shel Olam.
I hear you.
It doesn't sound like he's. It sounds like that's part of the quote, unless I'm misreading that. When he's quoting the Gemara, the Gemara seems to say that it wasn't Avodah Zarah. I'm misreading that.
Where does the Gemara say that?
No, I think the actual Haya Chata Chayda Avodah Zarah Elah Isra Achila Meitzah. That's I think that's him.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So then Rav Moshe continues. V'Isra Lifnei Iver Yesh Af Einam Rechokim.
Me, I need to tackle him on an issue like that. I just wanted to bring it up.
Okay. No, I think it's a fair point, although I think it's still, I'm not sure how you... Right. I think with other aviros, it becomes more difficult. Okay. So Rav Moshe then says, fine. So that's if you invite people from far away who would for sure have to drive, although you bring up a fair point about people in the city who maybe aren't going to drive themselves. But then he says, what about people who aren't so far that theoretically could walk, but they won't? V'Israel if ne'iver, yesh af be'inam rechokim. Even people who aren't so far, it's still if ne'iver. They're not so far. If you know they're going to be too lazy to walk and they're going to drive. But that's not mesis, that's just an Isra Lifnei Iver. So he's saying, okay, so but if you're going to you're not going to do it in a way that's actually inviting people, but you're just making an announcement that you're doing this minyan and you're giving out prizes to people who come to daven, so the intention is clearly to bring people who live close, but you also know the people who live far are going to come also in their cars. So that, he says, there's no problem of mesis. If it's in lifnei iver, usually his topic, but he's not sure if there's a problem with lifnei iver there. So he's really machner. He's saying, even if you're not actually inviting them, you're just making it known that this is happening, but they might come, that's a problem. That might be a problem of lifnei iver. V'tzirichim lefari she'lo yitznu prasim ela le'ilu she'yavu b'ragleihem b'heter. So you have to actually publicize that you're not going to give out prizes except to people who come by foot, right? How they're allowed to come. So that way you're really not encouraging anyone to come in the car.
I mean, I thought that Yeshu's topic is that he's being Mako.
Well,
I think it was a Chumra from other parts of the church.
Well, he's not. It's not that. I don't think he's being. I'm not thinking it was a Chumra. I think he's saying, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but that's being Mako. I mean, there's room to argue, he's saying. There's room to discuss it.
Yeah, there's room to discuss, but he's not saying that it's fine.
It's muta, right.
Right.
If that's enough.
So, I mean, he says, he's saying, if you don't, if you tell them, I'm not going to give prizes, and you don't make it in the language of an invitation, so then it's okay.
Limiting prizes to those who come by foot, that's a difficult, shall we say, human relations.
Right. Politically, it's a little hard to maneuver.
Right. How are you going to do that?
Right.
But they park around the corner and then walk.
So then you won't know that they drove, so then they can get a prize. Okay, so that's sort of Moshe on this. He actually comes down pretty...
Do you consider a kiddush a prize?
Well, that's not going to any individual person, so... So he comes down pretty strict on this issue. Rav Shlomo Zalman Erbach, in a really interesting tshuva, I think, rules differently, and he brings up the point that you made before. Remind me your name again?
Danny.
So he says, "V'misha ba'ilav oreach chashuv," so someone who, an important guest, comes to him, "asher inenu shomer Torah mitzvah," who's not observant, but he still feels right camaraderie and love for Bnei Torah. V'gam tomech b'mostos Torah v'chadom, and he also supports Torah institutions. V'mehal ba'al ha'bayis lo yisnayig ito b'nimos hamakuba l'chabed oso b'midi d'meichal l'meshtei. If the ba'al ha'bayis doesn't treat him politely and respectfully, v'glal zeh shemitzad ha'din asr litein lechol ela l'misha yodeya shenotel yadav u'mevarich, because the strict halachas that you're not supposed to give someone food if you know they're not going to wash until yadayim and make a bracha on the food before they eat it. So if the Baal HaBayis was to follow that strict letter of the law and not give the right, not serve his guest food because he's not going to say a bracha, he would be very insulted, right? Ukamokin imafilu betzura mechubedas yivakish mimani litol yadayim ulevarich. Or even if he does give him food, but he respectfully asks him to wash his hands and make a bracha, yireh hadavar kipigia ve'elbon bechvodo. The person's going to be very insulted. That's really... Right, an insult to his dignity. And it's going to make him very angry. So that's going to actually drive him farther away from Torah. Right now he doesn't say brachos, so there's no havam whatsoever that he's going to start saying brachos if you insult him like that. And he's going to start feeling angry and hatred for people who follow the Torah. This is the way that the Torah has its people behave. So the Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks, in these kinds of situations, I think that you have to politely, respectfully provide him with food and drink. Not worry about lifnei iver lo titein mechshol. Because even though we don't allow one person to do a lower level iser, it's in order to save many people from doing a higher level iser. Separating trumos and masters on Shabbos to prevent other people from eating food that hasn't had trumos and masters separated from it. Here, since the whole iser is just about lifnei iver, if you don't give him the food, right, and if you don't violate lifnei iver, you're going to cause the guests to be in violation of much greater prohibitions of, right, sinas chinam, and, or maybe not chinam, but, right, of hating Jews and hating Torah and hating God. Ela adraba yesh kan hatzala mimichshol gadol ma'od. Right, rather, no, here you're saving him from a big, right, from violating a big problem. So even though you violated lifnei iver by giving him something where you knew he wasn't going to say a bracha, you prevented a much greater problem.
It seems like there are a lot of conditions, though, still to inviting someone.
What
in terms of who they are, in terms of someone that is important and loves Torah. And
well, he's not saying here that it has to be that way. He's just saying when you have a situation where someone's like that, you should make sure that you keep them that way.
You think like that's just an example of a kind of person, but it doesn't necessarily have to be someone that meets all those qualifications.
Yeah, I think he's saying like if you have the opportunity to bring someone closer, then you should. Here he's also talking about it. He's talking about when the person's already there.
Right.
Whether you should go out of your way to invite them to try to bring them closer, that's a separate question. But
it sounds like he's talking about a big money man or a person in a position of influence and he's somewhat, shall we say, sympathetic to the Torah cause, but he's definitely himself not religious. He's really talking about Israelis here.
Right. No, well, that's right. No, my question.
Don't wash even if you tell
right. No, my question is just if that's an example that he's giving, or if that is part of the qualification of who he's speaking about.
It's a good question.
I would think both, meaning that's
those are the. You can probably stretch it.
It's a good question. An article that I saw that was quoting this tshuva, the writer of the article, who's Rav Yosef Tziri Moon, who I wrote on the bottom here, he actually interpreted this to mean that Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying is that when the purpose of your interaction with the person is one of spiritual growth and trying to bring them closer, then he thinks Rav Shlomo Zalman saying that Lifnei Iver wouldn't apply. So I hear what you're saying, that it's a little bit of a stretch from his tshuva, because in this case, the person's already in front of you, and you don't want to insult him, right? To say that you should go out of your way to invite the person to try to bring them closer to Torah is definitely another step. Right. So I think that it's definitely another step to say that you could invite him.
So the reason here is because it's going to be like sort of mevater, the reason for Lifnei Iver. Not that you just can't... Meaning, it's not that...
The person is
going to be insulted, so therefore you don't have to. You know what I'm saying? Because
then you insulted and move away from the Torah.
Right, because there are other violate things. Bigger Easter. Mm-hmm. Like it's better you violate Lifnei Iver so that that person doesn't violate.
But it's only because of Lifnei Iver. Like, let's say there's something else that if you would do, they would be insulted. We're not saying that you're not obligated now. I can't think of an example, but...
Right. He seems to be saying that, like, Lifnei Iver is kind of like a lower-level Isser, so it's okay.
Right, because there are other things we wouldn't say that you could be over in order to not insult someone.
Right, like, he's not saying that you could eat treif. Like, if you're at a business meeting at
a restaurant,
you need to eat treif to not insult the other people at the table, like, that you could do that.
It's because
right?
it would defeat the purpose of Lifnei Iver.
Right.
Okay.
My rabbi in Pittsburgh, Rabbi Yisrael Miller, mm-hmm. used to say, if you're going to be out driving around on Shabbos, it wouldn't be so bad if you stopped into the shul.
Yeah, so Rav Shlomo Zalman, in a discussion about this question of inviting over guests for Shabbos, he says that you should offer the person a place to sleep. And if they, right, so that offer them a situation, offer them a way to come without having to be Michal Shabbos, and if they choose not to go up on it, so then that's not your issue. Right? And it's okay to invite them, even if they refuse your offer somewhere to sleep, because that's not considered the favor, because that's basically, like, they could have, that's basically, if you offer them a place to sleep, so then that's making their violation not require, right, you're not assisting them, they don't need your assistance, so that's making it not an issue of Lifnei Iver. Right? Again, it's making it kind of like the you're both on one side of the river. So as far as the bottom line sock, again, I defer to the Mardasra. I'm not here to paskin on any issues, but hopefully now we have a better sense of the issues involved and the questions that need to be addressed in dealing with this issue. And this question
What's
of...
What's your feeling?
In my house growing up, we used to invite... my father used to invite his secretary to our Pesach Seder. He would offer her to sleep over, and she never did, but she came. So I definitely think that in my upbringing, this was something that was okay. And I think it's important. I think it's valuable to, right, sometimes you, like, inviting someone maybe will expose them to something that might be meaningful to them.
Isn't it an issue then just inviting them for a meal, not just on Shabbos? Because anytime you serve somebody who's not observant, you know that they're not going to say bracha.
Yeah, definitely. I just thought this was like a more... Right, but questions to explore and more.
Because nobody ever...
Right.
Like, we don't really think of that as even a question.
Right. This issue of Lifnei Iver, though, has lots of practical ramifications. And definitely in Israel, I think there are more. They come up, like, sometimes in the army. Are you allowed to, right, sell certain things to certain people if you know that they're going to do certain things with it, especially, like, with Shrumas and Mises, these issues. But definitely here also, there are definitely a lot of practical questions that come up from Lifnei Iver. Hopefully now we have a basis and a grounding in what the issues are, and then we can explore, you know, each question, knowing what questions to ask. Yeah.
Do you think Rav Moshe would agree to Rav Shlomo Zalman in the case where you invited the person to honor?